Now, Carl Merry is back with me, being a Tuesday afternoon, and I believe that you're going to be talking about the Battle of Maldon this week, Carl.
Yes, the Battle of Maldon, it's one of the oldest Anglo-Saxon poems to survive. In fact, only a scrap of it really survives, which just takes us up to the death of the great hero, the great Alderman of Essex, Byrhtnoth. When we performed this in 2000, we were asked what happened afterwards. And so I actually wrote, together with my colleagues, the journey of his body to Ely Cathedral. But we won't be including that today.
And what year are we talking about?
We're talking about the year 991.
991, right. Okay, let's go back to 991.
It's August in the year 991, and the sea wolves have come. On Northy Island, 99 ships are moored. They have plundered the east coast of Essex. Ipswich has been sacked. And the Vikings are calling for tribute from the people of Maldon. Gold or silver, anything to pay them off. Give us gold, they say. Give us silver, and we will leave you in peace. But they are on the island, and the only way across is the very small causeway, the narrow causeway. And the Alderman of Essex, the Earl of Northumberland, Byrhtnoth, and his army are waiting on the other side of that causeway. The only tribute you will get will be our swords and our spears, our arrows and our axes, calls Byrhtnoth. We will pay you no gold today. The Alderman of Essex stands tall among his men, for he is 6'9" tall, with swan white hair. He may be old, but he is still strong in the arm. The Vikings begin to cross, determined to take Maldon, to raid and ravage the town that will not pay tribute. But as I said, the causeway is narrow and only three men can cross abreast. And as they cross, they are cut down by the men of Essex. So much so that after a little fight in the Vikings' call, that it is unfair that they cannot fight in this way, crossing the causeway. And they ask Byrhtnoth to let their army cross so that the fight may be on solid land and be a fair fight. And Byrhtnoth agrees. The Viking army in its entirety crosses the causeway, and they line in rank upon rank against the men of Essex. The fight begins, and it is a bloody one. Limbs are hacked from bodies, heads are severed, blood stains the grass. Byrhtnoth fights furiously, killing all who face him. His spear is in the throat of one man. His sword severs the head of another. And all is well until from behind comes a spear which strikes the great warrior to the ground. And his men, some, gather round him, determined to protect his body from the sea wolves, from the Vikings. But others, like Godric, flee the battle. When all is lost, and the men of Essex are forced to retreat, the Vikings hack off the head of Byrhtnoth as a trophy. And as the Vikings advance on Maldon, a young woman covers Byrhtnoth's body with her cloak so that his wife does not see that he is without a head. The Vikings allow his body to be taken from the field, and he is carried in great reverence to the church. And from there, his body is taken to the abbey at Ely. For when he was coming down from Northumberland to fight this battle. He stopped at Ramsey, and the abbot would not let his men stay. He said, "My lord, you are welcome, but your men will have to sleep outside." And Bertnot said, "I cannot fight without my men, and they will sleep with me." And so it was at Ely they rested, and it was Ely that got the bulk of Bertnot's treasure. And if you go to Ely Cathedral to this very day, you will find on the right-hand side of the cathedral, if you walk, a small square stone, and in there are the bones of the great leader, the Alderman of Essex, Bertnoth.
Now, I have to say, I'm somewhat surprised that he agreed to having the fight on a fair basis. I don't think I would have done, do you?
No, he could have defeated them there. There's no doubt about that, I think. It's a sort of sense of English fair play, which sometimes gets you in trouble, I think. But he was apparently, when his bones were exhumed and the cathedral built where the old abbey was, and they measured the femur. They've done research on him. He's 6'9", apparently.
Wow.
He's a very, very tall man. They found in his coffin where the head would have been a ball of wax.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Right, so what's up next?
Well, we're going from one battle to another. And I'm going to tell the story of Edith Swanneck.
Edith Swanneck.
Yes, she was the mistress of Harold Godwinson, who fought at the Battle of Hastings.
Right, we shall look forward to that next week. Thank you very much indeed, Cole.